what it has in store. For I will praise the Lord. Let's just praise Him this morning, thank Him for all His goodness. Oh, I will praise the Lord. Situation we're in, just start praising Him, and He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can have a rest and hope in that, because He already knows what tomorrow has in store for us, and if we abide in Him, then we can rest and have peace. Amen. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I hope you come to expecting to hear what the Lord has for all of us. It's so good to be in the house of God and just to be fellowshipping around all the believers here. Let's stand as we sing it once more, and Brother Terrence comes for the prayer request this morning. Oh, I will praise the Lord. Yes, I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings, what He has in store.
See one with us this morning. Remember the ones that are traveling. I think Wade's traveling. Remember him as he travels. A couple requests we have here. It says pray for Brother Ernie. He's in Cambodia. He just gave us a sent us a little email. So remember that, to pray for Brother Ernie. Also, Brother Rhino gave me one that says testimony. Thanks for your prayers for my dad's court hearing. All went well. Please continue to pray for other hearings in the coming months. Also pray that they can find a good lawyer. So remember that this morning. The only ones I have, I know we all have unspoken requests this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning. Lord, be with the ones that are traveling on the highways, Lord, wherever they may be. Come down, bless them, be with them, and guide them. Be with our services here, Lord. Bless them and our Sunday school classes, Lord. Just be with them and all the people that have unspoken requests, Lord. Thank you for taking care of Brother Rhino's dad. Continue to bless him. Remember Brother Ernie. Lord, bless him as he's in Cambodia. All will be well, Lord, and have no problems there. Remember all the ministry, Lord, that's traveling around, Lord. Just be with them also. Bless them. Bless us in this service. Give Dad strength, Lord. Give us strength to listen to what's being said. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Believe. Only believe. Only believe. For all things are possible. Yes, only believe, only believe, for all things are possible, only believe.
Amen. Brother David, would you come up this morning and receive your tithes and offering? Amen. Let's turn to page 211. In key of C. Jesus paid it all. Amen. We're so happy that we can rest in the finished work of Calvary. Amen. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Oh, find in me thy all in all. For Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power, and thine alone can change the leopard's spots. He wore the heart of stone. Oh, Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. For sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Since nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim, I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Oh, Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. For sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Oh, Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Let's sing that chorus, He Is Here, while Brother Donnie, if you could get your Bible reading ready for this. He is here, hallelujah. He is here, amen. He is here, holy, holy. I will bless his name again. Listen closely, hear him calling out your name. He is here, you can touch him, you will never be the same.
Good morning, saints. Let's see here. We're going to be reading from Psalm 62, I think. Get over to it. Yes, sir. Psalm 62. I hope everybody's enjoying the pretty weather we're having. Well, bless they. Especially with all the prayers that we've been hearing, that it's been answered by the Lord and all the great works he's doing. What a blessing we have here. Before we read this morning, let's go to the author and just speak to him. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day, Father, and we ask you to forgive us of our sins. And Lord, just come down and bless this little bride group here, this little church today, with all the Sunday school classes and everything that's going on here, Lord, that we're doing our best, Lord, just to open up and share your word with each one here, Lord, and you just come on the scene and reveal it to us and bless Papa Dale today as he's preparing to bring forth the message of the hour. Just let him speak the words you placed on his heart, come across those lips you made of clay. Father God, today as we read your word, we just ask you to just come on the scene and reveal it to us now. Forgive us of our sins, and Father, I'd like to also bless all those veterans out there, Lord, that defended this country, and especially the ones that gave their life for it, Father. We just ask, Father, you just touch and bless us for us. And Father, lead and guide us and have your way with us. We ask in your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to read 1 through 12. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation.
He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be given.
How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a boiling well shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. My soul wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him.
He only is my God and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved.
In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity.
Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them.
God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. In a time we live in now with shifting sands, it's good to have a rock we can stand on. It's our salvation and our defense. Amen. Let's try this song into page 228. It's in B flat. I'm sorry, page 230. Missed the one.
They told me love's sweetest story. They told me a wonderful name. It thrills all my soul with its glory. It burns in my heart like a flame. They told me of one who so loved me that in heaven he could not remain. He came down to seek and to save me. Oh, tell me his name again. Oh, tell me his name again. And sing me that sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above to die on the cross of shame. The story my heart has stirred, the sweetest that I ever heard. It banishes fear, brings hope and cheer. Oh, tell me His name again. They say He was born in a manger, and that was no room in the inn. That in His own world was a stranger, yet loved it in spite of sin. They say that His path led to Calvary, and that one day He died there in shame. He gave His great life as a ransom. Oh, tell me His name again. Oh, tell me His name again. And sing me that sweet refrain of Him who in love came down from above to die on the cross of shame. The story my heart has stirred, the sweetest that I ever heard. It banishes fear, it brings hope and cheer. Oh, tell me His name again. They call Him the sweet rose of Sharon. Oh, they call Him the lily so fair. They call Him the blessed rock of ages. They call Him the bright morning star. He's prophet and priest and redeemer, amen. The King of all kings He shall reign. He's coming in power and glory. Oh, tell me His name again. Oh, tell me His name again. And sing me that sweet refrain of Him who in love came down from above to die on the cross of shame. The story my heart has stirred, the sweetest that I ever heard. It banishes fear, it brings hope and cheer. Oh, tell me His name again. Amen. Just can't get tired of hearing that name. Amen. Let's turn to page 372 this evening. Amen. You happy that your sins are gone this morning? Amen. They're under the blood of Jesus Christ. You ask me why I'm happy. Oh, I will tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffer who asks me where they're gone, oh, I'll say, my sins are gone. Oh, they're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. far as removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. 'Twas at the old time altar where God came in my heart, and now my sins are gone. The Lord took full possession, the devil did depart. I'm glad my sins are gone. Oh, they're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, there's good enough for me. Praise God, oh, my sins are gone. When Satan comes to tempt me and tries to make me doubt, I say, my sins are gone. Oh, you got me into trouble, but Jesus got me out. I'm glad my sins are gone. Oh, they're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn. Hallelujah. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. I'm living now for Jesus. I'm happy night and day because my sins are gone. My soul is filled with music, with oh, I know my sins are gone. Oh, they're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgiveness, that's good enough for me. Oh, praise God, my sins are gone. Oh, they're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Oh, hail King Jesus. Oh, hail Emmanuel. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, bright morning star. Just praise him this morning. Oh, hail King Jesus. Oh, hail Emmanuel. You're the King of kings, Lord of lords, your bright morning star. Eternity, I'm going to praise him, and forevermore, oh, I will reign with him. mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. Let's all stand. Oh, Jesus is that God we serve. Oh, Jesus is that God we serve. Four angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. Jesus is that God we serve. What a mighty God. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Yes, what a mighty God we serve. Jesus is that God. Oh, Jesus is that God we serve. Jesus is that God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. Jesus is that God we serve. Let's just give Him a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. I tell you, it's a pleasure to serve the living God. Amen. There's a lot of people serving a lot of things this morning. But to know that you're in the truth and that the truth is in you is the most wonderful feeling you can have. Amen. Let's change the order of the service that our brother comes this morning. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Lift my heart, I want to see. Amen. I want to see you. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. You love Him.
See Him, don't you? And just take a look around. You may find the Lord in strange ways and strange points, right? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Matthew 3 and Matthew 17. I hope we get over that far. We'll read from there anyway. But just remember that. Remember, the fellowship meeting now will be this coming Saturday at Brother Tony's at 3:30. So we'll be leaving here somewhere around 12. If you desire to go, and all of us, you know, to fellowship together, whatever. So remember that. It'll be this coming Saturday. Remember, Brother Richard's on his way home from being with his father. And bless, pray that the Lord will be with him. And Wade and his buddy David is on the way back in from hunting. And also to remember each one of them. All right, now Brother Joe has got a thing that we, you know, tomorrow is, I believe that's right, is the Veterans Day. So we honor all of the veterans, all that served in the military. And what he's got a list of some. And so what we want to do is, if he can, get them together after the evening service and take some pictures of them, okay? All of the veterans. So we, you know, we have Brother Larry, Brother James Colley, Brother Darty, Brother Addison, Brother Solace, Brother Fawbush. If we missed any more, you know, I don't know of any more that were military veterans, you know, and all. I know we've got those. So we appreciate these brothers that spent their time and all for us to have the freedom to be able to serve God and be at least a point of live in this day. So we appreciate you very much. And just praise God for you. And thank you for those times and efforts that you put forth. You might not have been on the firing line, but that's everything that's there just as important. One is just as important as the other. Because if everything wasn't right, if, I know Brother Larry was a cook. If the things ain't right in the cook, then the military runs off its belly. Well, he would tell you that because he was up at 4 or 2 o'clock in the morning or something getting ready for breakfast for them at 5 or 4 or something. So we appreciate that. But we just thank God for the freedom that we have, the opportunity to serve God and be a free nation. All right. Okay. Matthew 3 and Matthew 17. Anything? Is any other announcements? I know we generally miss them and all, but just remember that. Father, we thank you for this day and your grace and your love unto us. Thank you for everything. And we just ask you, Lord, to guide us and keep us in thine understanding. And let your light, Lord, just dwell in each heart that we may see you and want to walk in your grace. Lord, forgive our sins, cleanse us and keep us in your love that we may walk in you and just bless each one. Have your way and, Lord, show us thine understanding that we may walk therein. Bless Wade and them, be with them, be with Richard, all of these and different ones, Lord. Remember the sick among us. Remember Brother Dick, Brother Al, Brother Collie there. The different ones that are sick among us and all with things that we pray for continually for them. And then just remember everybody else that has a sickness among us. Remember her wife and all of the different ones. And we pray that you would just come on the scene. You said it. And we believe it. You said you would send your word and heal us and deliver us from destruction. So we thank you for that. Have your way now and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Matthew 3. Now we'll read these together. If we don't get there this morning, we'll come on over to this evening. But let's go to verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. In other words, he baptized him. You know, he told him it had to be. All we know, the sacrifice had to be clean, so it had to be made ready. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now notice the reading. In whom I am well pleased, or pleased to dwell. Now we'll go to Matthew 17, because that's the beginning of Jesus' ministry at River Jordan. We'll back up to that. That was the beginning of it and everything, you know. And then now we're coming to the winding down of his ministry, and then we start chapter 17. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Brother Brown said they were actually telling him and talking about his second coming. All right. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the clouds which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Same statement now of the River Jordan, but look at what's added to it. Hear ye him. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. So keep that in mind now till we get our thought and try to come to that point that we'll talk about the hear ye him if we get a chance. If we don't, we'll pick it up this afternoon and take it on into the service. All right. So just remember these things. Remember this announcement of things. Brother Joe wants to talk to each one of them and try to get a picture. Some may not be here, but maybe we can cut it. You know, they're good at doing that. Maybe they can slice a picture and put it in and, make you to be standing there. All right. Like I said, now we won't, I don't know when, how far we'll get into what I want you to think on, but I'm trying my best to get you to think about where we're at, what's happening, where we're living, the time that we're living, right? Where we're at. See? You know, I mean, finding our day. Recognizing your day in its message. All right, we've had the message. Okay, praise God for that. We recognize that. We believe it. God sent us a prophet. Okay, but our last message, we dwelt on it, but I didn't get fully clear of what I want you to think on what we were talking about, on the fact that in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and I tried to cover it, the 11th chapter of Hebrews covers the Old Testament saints. Okay? You can technically, and I say that technically, because all of it really applies to the Old Testament. Because the thing that when you get down to the bottom of it saying that they didn't receive the promise. All right? So basically all of Hebrews 11 will be applied to the Old Testament people. And it says, they without us could not be made perfect. You know, you say, well, no, they was made perfect by Jesus Christ. Well, for what they needed was made perfect by Jesus Christ. Why would it say to the Old Testament saints now, and we'll read where the prophet said it was the Old Testament people, you know, why would it say without us, they cannot be made perfect? Okay. Now, why is it that the Old Testament is dependent upon the New Testament bride? See, then we can kind of follow the line of getting into the New Testament, and we can see that throughout the New Testament, then you would have the ages coming down and everything, and then you'd stand over here in the last age and see the ending up of all things and look back. And you could say, they without us, down through the church ages, cannot be made perfect. Now, that does not mean that we're going to raise them up, preach something to them, do this something to make them perfect. That's not the point. That word there is complete. All right? See, the Old Testament saints are not made complete. You say, well, all right, think about it. Now, there's some that come up and different, and there's an argument about the resurrections and the things, and I ain't going to get into it with anybody. I'm just going to state it and move on into what we're talking about. In the Old Testament, you had an emptying up of paradise, yes. You had things took place, yes. You had people raised there when the Lord Jesus raised. Right. Well, where did it go? Now be real careful there. I tried to explain it last Sunday. Be real careful. Where did it go? Now they didn't go to the seventh dimension. Because Brother Branham couldn't even go to the seventh dimension when he went beyond the curtain of time. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to, he said, he's, they said he's higher. He said, you can't go there. All right? Now, then we ought to get our little pity-patty thoughts out of our mind about something and settle down to an understanding. That word there where it says, without us, they cannot be made perfect. It means that they cannot be complete. Right? All right. Now, the Old Testament is waiting on you and I to be made complete. The New Testament is waiting on you and I to be made complete. Right? So what is the thing that we're waiting on? See? This body. To be redeemed. Salvation has already been. Yes, the Old Testament saints was waiting on Jesus Christ. Sure, because the New Testament saints is waiting on Jesus Christ. You better get it all together. We're all waiting on Jesus Christ, waiting on something to happen. But just remember the point that I've tried to drive over and over to you on the adoption, how that it's in three stages. The new birth brings you a child of God, puts you in the body of Christ. Then you got the Romans 8 coming down through 21, 22, 23 through there, that the whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. All right? But then it goes to 23 and it says that they're waiting to the adoption to wit, to understand, the, or to see, to follow that and to see it. To understand it or make it known. Right? And see, what is the thing we're waiting on? All right? We're waiting on the redemption of the body because that's the last thing. Your soul is redeemed by the new birth. We've had 50 years since the going of the prophet. To at least have, and we'll see that to maybe at the end of the message or this afternoon one, and see how it ties together. We've had a long time. God has been patiently waiting on you and I. Not to get a new birth. That's already supposed to be transferred, I mean, and taken place. All right? And see, then we're in the stage in between the new birth and the redemption of the body. And that's where we're at right now, and that's what we're doing. That's the reason I've dwelt over and over to make you to see what I'm trying to say is the new birth is wonderful. But we're in a stage now, I've been in that stage, to where that it would come forth and understand, to wit, to understand, to see the redemption of the body, because that's what we're waiting on. Right? You're not waiting on the new birth. And the redemption of the body has not transpired. Right? I mean, if you think that you have your glorified body, I'll tell you what, I'd hate to hang around in this. Now, this thing getting older and older and older, it's going down. You may think you're doing good. But just remember, it's going to catch up with you. All right? And see, they then, without us, cannot be made perfect, are brought to the complete stage. Why are they crying there? How long? How long? We can go into the fifth seal with the Jews, right? All of those things. But we're going in into and seeing it. How long? How long? Is all the way down through time. Everything from Genesis. Oh, everything from Genesis to where we are now is dependent upon us. Huh? That new birth is there. We'll cover this afternoon when we get on predestination. Because you're predestinated unto adoption. Somebody is. So why can't we believe it? We say, yeah, but I just don't see nothing going on. Well, maybe that's God's way of doing it. I know you don't think like I think. I'm crazy. And I'll tell you one thing about it. I believe it. You say, here we are. We got this and that and the other. But those people back yonder had more than we do. Well, I wonder what would happen if you brought them down here to where we are and put us back there. I'm serious. I mean, you know, I'm not joking or playing. I'm telling it the way I believe it. They had one or two doctrines to exist with. Pharisees and Sadducees. And had a little thing called Herodians and things like that. Little group sling off. And here we got 900 different denominations and 2,000 different groups of this message. And that's probably a low number. Right? But is it true? I'm not trying to make no lie to nobody. I'm trying to tell it like it is. Amen. To be honest and see where we're standing. Somebody's waiting on somebody somewhere. Because the Bible says it. All right? And if it says it, I thought we believed it's supposed to be made manifest. See, so they without us cannot be made complete. See, those Old Testament saints could never come to a full redemption of the body. If it is, show me where they're at. Show me where they are now. When nobody can approach into immortality but the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Brother Brown said, I can't go there where he's at. Now, that's what he said, so, you know. Well, I don't. Well, just murmur all you want to, but just remember one thing. If it is true that the Bible is true, then the world is waiting on somebody. Why can't we believe it's us? Why can't we accept that it's us? See? Because remember, all these years I've preached to you where it said that to wit. I've preached that for 40-something years to you about it. To wit, to understand the redemption of the body. There's never been a people on the earth outside of sections or places. We'll get to it this evening. Sure, the disciples talked about the coming of the Lord, the redemption of the body, the things. Right. But then you see them going down. But you see, somebody's got to come to the place to understand. And it, you say what you want to. Go ahead. I've tried to get you to see the thing we need is redemption of the body. And with that, no divine healing, no resurrection. Is that what your prophet said? Well, everything's waiting on you and I. To do what? Not to come up and do some great miraculous thing. See, we think it's waiting on some great uprising, some happening, some great big outpouring of the Spirit. I believe in that. But I believe that'll pour out on everything because the Bible says it will. The Bible tells us plainly that in the last days he'll pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. I've looked for a great move, right? I believe in it. Always have. But I know, too, that we must get into the place for that. You say, well, this is supposed to happen. That's what, all right. If we don't get in the right place, it can't happen. How many times have you heard this statement? You're going to catch an airplane, and you go down to the bus depot. Now, that's about the way we do, right? You're going to go to California, you're going to fly there, but you go down to the bus depot. Well, you ain't going to get there unless you get a bus to the airport. Right? See, I've tried to just get us to think about. We are what the world is waiting on. It's not waiting, listen, it's not waiting, come on, church. It's not waiting great manifestations of outpourings of this, that, and the other and great moves. That will be among that out there. I've preached that for 40 years to you. If a revival is going to come to me and you, they're going to get the after effects of it. They're going to have it. And you better think about what is said a lot of times, that there's a lot of times there's more going on out there than it's trying to go among us. Maybe we're the ones that's missing it when they're waiting on us, but it looks like we're waiting on them. No. That's somebody. Somebody's going to make that manifest. And what have I tried to get you to see? Where it says the manifestation, waiting, the manifestation, the making known, the prophet said. What is manifestation? Making known. Oh, it's signs and wonders, the dead raised, the sick healed. That can be out there. But the making known is the what? What did the prophet cover it when we were talking about adoption the other day? Where he covers it there in the message and said, it's a mystery that's been hid from the foundation of the world. Mystery of adoption. Mystery of adoption. Because in adoption, you'll go all the way to the change. The mystery. See? To wit, to understand. Somebody's going to make known. Somebody's going to preach it. We've had the message. We're not looking for something else. Right? We're not looking for another prophet to come along or to somebody to come along and tell us what he said. We got what he said. When are we going to believe it? See, the world is waiting on somebody to just take the word and move into it and believe it. Amen. Yeah, but I've seen them fail. Well, everyone that's failed means one thing for certain. More truth is there than you think. Because if you can see the bad out there, it's kind of like somebody said one time, they was talking to somebody, you know, about Brother Branham being a prophet, and they said, he was a false prophet. And the fellow told him, said, well, okay, we got that soft. The fellow said, what? He said, you just said he was a prophet. No, I said he was a false prophet. He said, okay, he's a false prophet. We got that soft. Now where's the true one? Right? What's the true one going to be? Was it to be signs and wonders to the prophet to catch the attention of the bride? No, it was the opening of the word. The opening of the word is supposed to catch the bride's attention. The making known of God. How many times have I said this to you? If we'll make him known, he'll make us known. Who's worried about healings and signs and wonders and things to happen? If we just make him known. How can we make him known? Oh, we'll go out here and raise the dead and heal the sick. That ain't the way you make God known. You make God known by believing his word and taking what he says and staying with what he says. Right? See, then why don't we believe we're here? All right? See, why can't we follow it like that and think about it? That they, do you understand what I'm saying now? The whole world, we'll read it in a minute where Brother Brown says the world is waiting. The whole world is waiting on the manifestation of sons of God. He even said the Mohammedans out there looking for it. Yeah. Well, he said it. But see, the whole world is waiting on something to take place. What? The new birth has come. It's here. It's in your soul if you're born again. Huh? Manifestation of sons and daughters of God is here. It may not be in degree that we think about it, but it's here. So what are we waiting on? What's the one thing the world is waiting on? What's the one thing that all of those that have died and went on is waiting on. They could not come to that to the promise it says in Hebrews. Why? They died and went by the grave. They couldn't come to a change of the body. Right? See, then they're waiting on somebody to come to that place that the body can be changed. The rest will follow it. I didn't bring it, but I got a quote where Brother Branham said it this way. That we don't listen to him in his way. Stay. I think it's a future home. I'm not certain, but I'll find it. Right. He said them Old Testament saints would raise one day and go up and says, we'll fall right in line. Well, that's Old Testament, and we follow them. What's the problem? That's what he said. He said, and we'll fall right in line and going out in the rapture. Yeah, but that's backwards. No, it ain't backwards. It's right. See, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Right? Then we which are alive and remain will be changed. So they're going to raise and go, and we'll follow right behind. Yeah, but that's only the bride. Well, it doesn't matter if it takes part this way or that way. But listen. Just think about it. The Spirit of God raises up a standard. What is it? He's pouring in His Spirit. Then those who are resting out yonder in the grave are under the altar, as the Scripture says, are crying, how long, Lord, how long, how much longer? God's waiting on me and you. The church is waiting on me and you. Adoption time. When God can pour into us His fullness, His power, His resurrection, and when the church and Christ become so close together till Christ becomes visible among us and raises the dead and we go into rapture. Now, there's the whole thing, right? Eagle stirreth his nest. But God's waiting to get His church in order. He's waiting on you and I. May He grant the blessings. Waiting to get in order. Hear ye Him. There's where God's trying to get His church. Just say to this mountain, be moved, and it will move. Authority, sons of God. The whole creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Waiting to a spot to where that the sickness will be arise, and it will be that way. The blind will receive their sight, deaf and dumb. We pray for them now, but then you'll command it. Now listen. Didn't say these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall pray for the sick. Didn't say that. So they'll cast out devils. Not I will, they will. If you say to this mountain, not if I say. If you say to this mountain, be moved and doubt not in your heart. What we need is adoption. Sons and daughters needs adoption. Right. Melchizedek, the great prince. When we rally there with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those who were heirs of the promise, looking forward to us not to fail. What? They're looking forward to us not to fail. Right? They're depending on us this morning. Let us not fail. Keep your anchor in Christ. Uh-huh. Glorify Jesus. How that those Old Testament saints are looking now Without us, they are not perfect. So they're dependent on us to believe God's word. They're dependent on us to believe God's word. Remember what we're talking about now. They without us cannot be made perfect. They cannot be complete.
Right. Amen.
Even Brother Branham till this day is not complete.
Right.
I'm throwing it straight, putting it right. Right. The body's in the grave.
Right.
All right. Is that true? Well, no, you thought, no, I'm not. I'm telling it like it is. The body's in the grave waiting on them to come out of there.
Right?
Right?
Yeah, right.
So what's the whole story? What are we waiting on? The Messiah. That's why the Bible says the earth is groaning, crying, waiting for the manifestation of sons of God. The world is waiting for man to come back into his right estate. Come on. Come back to his right estate. It is I. And bring his people back to manifested sons of God like they had them in the Garden of Eden. The whole world's are groaning and waiting for the hour for the manifestation of the sons of God. He has no voice tonight but our voice. He has no hands but our hands. He has your hands and that whose hands it is, they're his. Adoption. It's a mystery that's been hidden since the foundation of the world. Waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. A mystery from the foundation of the world. Where do we get to it if we get there this afternoon? The Bible says, Ephesians 1, that you're predestinated unto adoption. You know what? You believe God's word? You believe anything he predestinates will take place? If you don't, you're an unbeliever. The altar's open. You need to be up here praying to get that unbelief out. Right? So why can't we believe it? Why can't we see what we're doing? Remember, our thoughts for this message is what? Not to look back. That's great. Faith builders and things like that, that's great. Not to look forward. But to see where we're at now. The prophet said that was the greatest mistake that we made. By not realizing what's taking place now. Yeah, but we've got so many of these. That's got to be there. You're going to be tried by every word.
Right.
But I just don't understand. The Bible said he would send these things among us.
Amen.
To try us.
Amen.
To see if we'd stay with the word or go with that.
Right.
That's what I told you 40 or 50 years ago. I said, you wait till the day come when the Methodists and Baptists about there will be preaching and raising the dead and healing the sick. And I said, then you're going to run after it. Because you're going to see signs and wonders and you're not going to think about the word being preached. You're going to have your signs and wonders and you're going to run after those signs and wonders.
Amen.
Is it not true that as quick as Brother Branham died, some of those went to a certain brother to see what he was in the mess? What he was doing, because he had signs and wonders. Is that throwing disrespect? No, because everybody's looking for something. But it's true. What about it? Tell me, my brother. Tell me, my sister. Paragraph 19 of adoption. When was the time that the sons of God was ever to be manifested outside of this time now? Well, that's been, Brother Dale, that's been 50 years ago. How many remembers what I preached the last time? I said somewhere about the 1940s or somewhere in there, a prophet came on the scene and began to, you know, you can go back to 33, you can go to where you want to, and that's fine. A prophet came on the scene and began to preach. We entered a stage there of a wonderful opportunity for Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, 7, to be made manifest.
Amen.
Right?
Right?
Until that time, it couldn't be done.
Right.
Yeah. But then when he comes on the scene with a message, why can't we just walk in that message and believe it?
Right. Amen.
Yeah. What's the problem? Because what did he say? Sons of God was ever to be manifested outside of this time now. When were there ever a time in the history that the manifest, the time to deliver all nature? Or has there ever been a time to deliver all nature? It's never been delivered, right? So that means it's going to be delivered. The first nature is going to be me and you. The first thing is going to be this made. Right? Not new. We're not going to get us a new body.
Right.
Yeah, but Brother so-and-so said what? I don't care what he said. The prophet said we're not going to do it.
Amen.
My Bible says that Jesus raised with nail prints in his hands. He didn't get a new body.
That's right. Amen.
But it was glorified.
Right.
Aye. Explain it. No, you can't do it. You can't explain glorified nail holes. Just get it out and forget it.
Amen.
Right? Understand it took place.
Amen.
How? I don't know. Manifestation of time to deliver all nature. Nature. The nature itself is groaning, waiting for the time of the manifestation. What's manifestation? We'll get down to it in a minute. Make it known.
Mm-hmm.
Why before the atonement was made? Now listen. Before the Holy Ghost was ever poured out, before all the Old Testament, on down through there couldn't have been manifestation, it had to wait till this time. Why did it have to wait till this time? Why is your prophet not covering that when Jesus Christ raised from the dead and came back as the Holy Ghost, that it was manifested at that time? Why is he waiting till now? Come on. That's been my whole point. If your prophet is right, then there's something missing all the way down through time that could not be understood because it was a mystery. But it could be understood in this last days. The mystery of the manifestation.
That's right.
The mystery of the sons and daughters of God in manifestation. Listen. It had to wait till this time. All things had been brought, coming, shaping up to a headstone, to the manifestation of the sons of God coming back. And the Spirit of God coming into these men so perfectly until their ministry will be so close like Christ till it would join him and his church together. With earnest expectation, the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation. The manifestation, what is the manifestation? Making known. No, it's the dead raised, the sick healed. That's making known, God. Get it right. But that's not what we're waiting on. So you say, well, when I see signs and wonders, I'll know it's true. You're right in the middle of the devil's trap.
That's right.
You're in the devil's trap right there. You're groaning, waiting for the time of adoption. And we believe that one of these days the Holy Spirit will move in. Not with a new birth, For we received that through Christ. But you'll adopt your church then. We taught adoption in the Baptist church. But we taught it as all as we knew. The new birth. Do you realize the Bible says that adoption is not for the Gentiles? Now, ain't no word that says it that way, but listen to what I'm saying. The Bible says adoption was for the Israel, the Jews. Right? It don't say it's for the Gentiles. Do you realize when you got the new birth? Now listen, when you got the new birth, you were adopted into the family of God. You had no right of lineages like the Jews. They would have had to come the same way because of the fall in the garden. The fall in the garden threw the Jews under the same situation. But they had a promise ahead of us. That's why he came to them. He came to his own. He offered it to them. They turned it down. But we Gentiles accepted it and believed it. Thank God. But do you understand? Adoption was originally for Israel because they were the people of God. If there would have been anybody gotten the new birth, whatever you're talking about, new birth, eternal life, salvation, whatever that Jesus came to bring, it was them. But they rejected it. And when they did, it throwed it to the Gentile. So now what do we get? When we are born again, we are adopted into the family at the new birth. We Gentiles. Adopted into the family at the new birth. Now there's got to be that manifestation and things, that gap in between. And then the last, to wit, the redemption of the body. Are you following me? What is manifestation? Making known. I'm not trying, listen. I know I talk, when I talk, you don't get it. I'm sorry. I'm just me. And if you don't want me, get you somebody else. Probably a lot of you would like that situation, but that's all right. Go ahead and do it. Because let's get on with it. Let's get to rapture here. Amen. See? But see, manifestation is making known. We think it's signs and wonders. That's great because that is the way you're making God known. Amen. Come on. But that's not it, because you can have the dead raised, the sick healed and everything, and it still be anointed ones. Now what are you doing? How are you going to know the difference? Like I always say, the Bible says there that he ascended among us, the prophet coming and do this, that, and the other. Said if you don't hear them, you're lost. All right, turn over to Scripture just a little bit further and read where he says that there'd be things happening, and said there'd be prophets come among you. And those prophets, he said, what? You've got to hear them, right? But if they take you to another God, don't hear them. You know what I love the rest of it? I know I've talked to a lot of people about this, and they just go haywire when the rest of that is said. He said, because I sent them among you. My great army that I sent among you. Why? To try you. To see if you'll stay with the word. Amen. Dead raised, sick healed. Take you to another God. What do? Shove them out the door. Right? But you see where the bait is at? God will do it. He will allow the dead to be raised, the sick healed, and the great things happening. And I've always told you, one day that'll come into a greater manifestation. When God pours out His Spirit on the bride to get her to the right place, that's going to fall all over. Amen. In the last days I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh.
Right.
Your sons and your daughters, He said.
Right.
Who? Antichrist or Satan. But upon my children. Upon my children, He says. What are you looking for, Brother Dale? I'm looking for a great move of God to come among us to where the dead is raised to see. Amen, I'm looking for that. But if I'm going to ask that fellow what he preaches.
Right.
Well, you mean the dead's going to be raised in front of you and you're going to ask him what he preaches? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because my soul is involved in this. If he's genuine of God, he ain't going to have no problem. He'll understand why I'm asking the question.
Right.
So he'll try to explain it. But you see, where did you perfectly fall right into the traps of the devil, looking for great signs and wonders to take place without the word? Well, now then, it's without the word. Now, who's got a right to the word? The Bible says it. The prophet says it. If I say anything that prophet don't say, you come tell me. Because, come on, you're duty bound. You're duty bound if I say something that prophet don't say. Now, I ain't saying some little silly word that I said was wrong, you know. But, man, I'm going to do that anyway. I'm just human. But listen, am I reading what he says? That's why I read it to you. That's why I put it on the internet. Where it's not what I say. I haven't said a thing this morning of what I think. I've read to you what your prophet said. Now, do you believe him? Right? Do you believe him? See, I thought then that we were supposed to believe Romans 8 of the new birth, verse 14, right through there, and then make you heirs and join heirs. And then 21, along in there, would be the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. And then verse 23 would go to wit to understand the redemption of the body. You realize the Apostle Paul. Now, I know, don't go wrong with me, listen. But the Apostle Paul he basically covered the complete plan of redemption, whereas maybe some of the others never put it in their writings. You know what I mean? Peter had the stature of a perfect man. Right. But he don't talk about adoption. But Paul knew all of that Old Testament tied together, and he knew what the mystery was, that it was waiting for the adoption to understand. The manifestation of the sons of God. No, the whole Bible's waiting on Jesus. Amen. But where's Jesus to be? Right? Hey, we've got your finger there. Say me.
Amen.
Huh? What about it? You don't get it. Yeah. But Brother Dale, if we could just get something to make me feel good, just to make me lift it up and doing. The greatest lifting up I could ever think about is to find out I'm a child of God.
Amen. That's right. Yes, sir. Amen.
And to find out the world is waiting on me. Well, now, well, it's waiting on somebody, right? That's why you can't get me, because I won't put it over onto that away. You know, say, waiting on me. See, there, it's been waiting on me, bless God. I've had this message, it's been waiting on me. Bless God, get all that junk out of the way. It's waiting on somebody. The Bible says it. The prophet says it. All right, why can't we believe we're that?
That's right. Amen.
Why not believe we're that? Well, I just don't see it. You're alive, ain't you? I just don't see it. I just, you know, well, go out there and find it. You'll find it out there. Go up here. Go to Gainesville. They got a great move up there in Gainesville. Go up there and just sit down there and listen. You'll probably see some dead raised, sick, healed, all kinds of signs and wonders, if that's what you're looking for. But what did he say in the Word? What does the Word say about it? Like I said, one scripture says, prophet comes, gives you these signs and all. You got to believe it or you're lost. Another one says, they come and bring these things but take you to another God. I sent it among you to try you. You mean God? Yes. God allows the devil to bring these things among us. Right? Come on. But what are we going to do? We're going to sit around and twiddle our thumbs waiting on the bus to pull up. Because that's what we've been doing 50 years. We've been doing pretty good. I've been having a wonderful time for 50 years, whether you believe it or not. I enjoy life. I enjoy the thoughts of God to where He'll just take me and He'll just carry me through. And I look at it and I say, well, Lord, I can't see that. He just opens it up. I said, well, thank you, now I see that, but now I can't see that, because it's always going to a deeper thing.
Yes. Right.
Now, you ain't never caught on one thing for around here. If Tom Fobbush was here, he'd tell you in a hurry. I preach the same thing over and over and over and over. Been at it 40 years, because there ain't but one Bible. There ain't but one message. There ain't but one God. And I've been preaching the same thing for 40 years, but it just keeps getting higher and higher. It just gets higher and higher and higher and higher. And I hope that you get the idea that it's dependent on you. Because it ain't dependent on me. All I got to do is bring the message. That's all I'm part for me to do is to bring the message. It's up to you to make it manifest.
Right. Amen.
What about it? All right. Now, maybe you'll get that part. They without us. So that means somebody's waiting on it and somebody's going to do it, right? Because in God, there's not anything that He says that's not going to come to pass, right? So somebody is waiting on a change of the body. Right? Because that's the last thing. You can come through the other things and pick up with it, as we will this afternoon, to see where it's at. And we've had it scattered over 50 years where Jesus had it for 3. I've said that to you, and we'll bring it back down to that, Lord willing, if we can get there this afternoon. But anyhow, listen. They, meaning somebody, without us. Now, somebody is the us. I like that brother Theo Erasmus. You remember him from Cape Town, South Africa? He preached here on God's name is not complete without us. You remember how he preached it? Said his name is J-E-S. J-E-S. He said, but now you put us in there and said it's J-E-S-U-S. So he's not complete without us. Your prophet, you want to quote where Brother Brown said the Godhead is not complete without you? Well, I just don't understand. I don't either, but I believe it. I don't understand how the cow drinks, eats the green grass, does all these things and gives white milk. I don't understand that. But I ain't going to stop drinking milk. Huh? They always try to tell us that a brown cow gave chocolate milk. Well, I never did find that. But it's all right. But now listen, church. So they without us. Now there's a they, which means it's got to be a group of people. Without us means it's got to be a group of people. So now Jesus Christ is going to be made manifest in the last days through the bride of Christ. Do you agree with that? That's the purpose for us being here. We're here to make him known. We're here to manifest him or to glorify him. We're here to tell the world of our Savior. Right? You don't go out and get people, now listen to the point. You don't go out and get people to getting born again. I watched that in the prophet. He could preach the deepest sermon and the altar would be full of people. I thought, there's something wrong here. Yeah, that ain't fitting my understanding. No. But he'd preach something and he could preach the deepest message. And they'd come to the altar. Well, see what he was doing. He was contacting the person and bringing the word. And what did the prophet say of ministers to do? Break the spell that Satan has over your eyes. So Brother Branham could be preaching the seals and people coming to the altar. Right? And him just preaching his heart out, the deepest thoughts could ever be, and the altar coming full of people receiving the new birth. Why? Because he broke the spell. I mean, you just got to preach long enough for that spell to be broke. All right? And you can see that spell broke over their eyes, and you can see people see it. And when they see it, they'll believe it. All right? See, then that's all I'm trying to do. It's to just bring out the message to get it to where that we can look at these things and see that they're for us. All right, now let's take an example through the scriptures and then we'll quit. All right? The Lord Jesus Christ, he came upon earth to redeem us. I was listening yesterday because I'd been sitting down there in the woods just listening to one tape right after the other and one tape right after the other. I just leave it plugged in my ear and just sit there. I'm sitting there 4 hours. I got nothing to do except look around. So I just put in a tape and just listen to the prophet. And you get him to hearing him talk about, you know, the things that God wants to make himself known to you and me. He wants to reveal himself to us. And in doing that, how does he do it? And a prophet comes along, like I said, preaches a deep message. And all at once, right in the middle of that message, something happens to the brain, and that you go, click. And something starts unveiling in you that he's not even preaching about. You ever done that? You ever had a preacher preaching on something, and about that time you just lose him, and he just keeps on talking all the time because God started talking to you. You ever done that? It's wonderful. If you've never done it, you know, try it sometime. Why? Because the minister broke the spell that was over you and God speaks straight to your heart of what he's wanting you to have. Okay? Now, see, then you think about the scriptures that we read. We read in Matthew 3 that Jesus was on the River Jordan being baptized. A voice came out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved son." Right? "This is my beloved son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell." Right? Right now? All right? See, you think that's his adoption. That's not the way your prophet covers it, so hang on. He goes for 3 years. And I'll read to you where Brother Branham says, the hardest could ever be. For 3 years, he preaches the gospel. He goes to Mount of Transfiguration, and a voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye him." And Brother Branham says, God is going to just step back. Because I've tried to get you to see it, and I know it goes wrong, because the human mind goes with it. I have never tried to preach a group of people to a place to see how good they are. Because ain't none of us good enough to even talk about it. Right? And that's not throwing off on nobody. It's just true. That solves the problem. All I've ever tried to do is get you to see what God has made you. It is He that hath... That is not we ourselves. We are His people. Even to the bodies, everything, all made of Him. And think about it. See, the Lord Jesus now, for 3 years, He preaches the gospel. He goes to the Mount of Transfiguration. And He's adopted. And He says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye Him." In other words, He says, I'm not gonna talk anymore. If you get anything, you're gonna hear it from Him.
That's right.
Amen. Right? Now listen, we're gonna read you some things in a minute, so just don't blank it out and say, "Oh, that's wrong." But then for 6 months, He had the most horrible time going from Calvary, to Mount of Transfiguration to Calvary. Adoption is to make our Father known, is what I've been trying to get you to see for 40 years. It's not to make you known. So that ought to get out of our minds and thinking. It's not to make you known or me known. It's to make Him known. Then He makes us known by coming and doing the great wonders. Right. But we're supposed to make Him known. Jesus didn't come to make His own self known. He came to make the Father known. See, and He knew, He knew He had to give His life. He knew he had to come to die. Because the only way that man would ever be able to see God was for Him to give His life. And then let that come back upon the people to give them eternal life. It's the only way. What about coming into the world and knowing? You understand what I'm saying? He had a horrible 3 years in His life. But then when He goes to Mount of Transfiguration, instead of getting better, it gets worse. When He was manifested Son of God coming up on the Mount of Transfiguration, things got worse. It didn't get better. See, we think it's supposed to get better. It's supposed to do this. It's supposed to do that. We're supposed to just get where we can just say it. It just happens. I've been in that ever since I've been in the message. You know what I've always said? You can't say it until you have it. That's 45 years or more ago. You can't say it until you get it. All right? And I don't mean get it by reading off a page. I mean get it where God speaks in your heart and tells you to say it. Please to honor your word. Huh? What about it? But then He spent 6 months of the most horrible time could ever be thought of. All He was trying to do was be good to mankind. I used to think in the Baptist, forgive me just going back there, I used to think, well, why did they hate Him? All He ever done was good. He raised their dead, He healed their sick, He fed them, He done everything. And why did they hate Him? That's back in the Baptist. I'd at least thinking about it. Why did they hate Him? All He ever done was good. All right? Here comes He had a River Jordan. Right? He was down there at the River Jordan. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell. And don't go to hear ye Him. Because He had to come through the tutorship, the training, and the position to come to Mount of Transfiguration. Then it would be, hear ye Him. Not that you wasn't supposed to hear Him during all that time. But it meant something was going on. Now, according to my Bible, it says He learned obedience by the things He suffered. And being made perfect, He became perfect. Right? Is that according to the Bible? So you had three years for him to go through that position. Are you listening? But it got worse, see, when he went to the Mount of Transfiguration. They started out trying to kill him. See, you think about it now. Mount Transfiguration, a life to fight it out with them demons and things to come to the position of the stature of a perfect man, as we'll call it, the adoptional stages, as we call it, in the second stage. And you think about it. We had a little man called William Branham. He has an Ohio River. This is my son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Is that basically what was said about him? I mean, in different wordings and that. But it didn't say, hear ye him. See? No more than it did to Jesus there. But your prophet had 40, 50 years, maybe. We don't know the exact. Because I know one thing he said on Stature of Perfect Man. He said that it's been 30 years trying to get this to the people. So you don't understand what I mean. There was a gap. And he fought it out with organized religions. And why did they hate him? All he ever done was heal the sick, cast out the demons. Right? He said, I was listening one other day, he said, he was talking to the tabernacle. He said, just show me one time I ever ask you for anything. You know what I'm talking about, what he was saying. But he spent 30, 40 years maybe, with just amount, through a ministry of coming through the stature of a perfect man, coming through the adoptional stages, coming through. And then one day he was taken out in Arizona. Taken up and visited with angels. We read it from the prophet. Right? I didn't bring that one, but I'll go back and get it. It's there. Where he says, talking about adoption to a son, he said, take him out into the desert, in other words, take him out into there and visit him with an angel. Said, give him something. Can't you just see? Here he comes into the opening of those seven seals. There at Jeffersonville, and he begins to preach. Looks like the world would have flocked to that. Looks like they would have just run after that and run to it, because he had come in this ministry and the things that had happened of the dead raised and the sick healed. If they had accepted it, would have been greater. They didn't accept it. It got worse for him till he got worse. In his early ministry, he preached to 500,000. In his last days, 2 or 3. Maybe 10 or something in a trailer. I believe he was adopted out there in Tucson. You can think he was adopted here and there, but you can't find a place to lay it in Scripture. If you understand what I'm just saying, the Lord Jesus went to the River Jordan, and then he goes to Transfiguration. All right. Brother Branham would go from the River Jordan, Ohio River, through his life and come out to where that he would stand out there and those seven seals would break, which, listen, is the plan of redemption. The seals, now listen, you hear this wording, but listen, please. The seals was not to say for the redemption of the body. That had already been preached for 2,000 years. Right? The seals was not for the new birth. Let me get it in the right order. I'm supposed to. It was not to just a new birth. The new birth is preached from Calvary all the way down. I mean, through the book of Acts throughout the 2,000 years. It's preaching the new birth. Right? But it was left then. As he was bringing those seals, he got less and less and less and less did people come to hear him. The message that would show you the redemption of the body. Brother Branham says, marriage and divorce was revealed in the seals. Now come on. He said the rapture was revealed in the seals. Right? Did he have a wonderful time after the seals broke? He did. But the world didn't want it no more. they turned against him. Right? He finished his message, and God took him off the scene. Right? For what reason? For you and me. But you see, he had, in that life coming down through there, he had a Mount Carmel experience. He fought out with Balaam and all of those things. He had a Mount Carmel experience. Brother Brown said, every born-again believer will have a Mount Carmel experience. All right? So then, can you see, wherever you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, maybe before you heard the message, you know, that's okay, I'll go with you. If you put one thing, the word that the prophet brought is the more important to me now than it was back yonder, because back there I was just shouting at our shoe heels. So if you go that way, we go okay. The new birth, 3 stages of adoption, right? A new birth, manifestation of sons and daughters, and then to understand the redemption of the body. See, where have you heard of the message? Because, see, we're all individuals now, so we're coming. So put yourself to yourself to the point. You received the new birth one day. That was your adoption into the family of God as a baby. You had to have that adoption to bring you in because you were not even a Jew to have any lineages or anything. I was trying to explain a while ago. You had the new birth come, and it gave you eternal life in your soul. But it didn't redeem the body. It laid claim. I'm in the future home, so come on. Brother Branham says it. He laid claim on that body. When that new birth came into your soul, it laid a claim onto that body and spirit that it would one day, eventually, even if it's got to go by the grave and come out, it will come into full eternity.
Right.
Yeah. Why? Because he claimed it right there. Right? That new birth made you rightful owners of glory. Because ever what he owns, we own half of it.
Amen.
I like it like that, don't you? Heirs and joint heirs, Paul says in Romans. But listen. See, then you started through life, you heard of the message. Some of you received the new birth after hearing of the message. That's fine. I can put mine easily into that because when I come into this message, I was in this message for 2 years before I ever received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I don't have no problems with that, no problems with anybody else. Everybody's told me, yeah, but Brother Dale, you believe the message. Yeah, I was reading 6 books and listening to 2 tapes in a day. You ever done that? I just dedicated my whole life to this message because if there's going to be a message, it's going to be a prophet. That's what I told Brother Moe. He said, he was a prophet. I said, tell me what he taught. I said, you tell me you saw the dead raised, the sick healed. I didn't see it. You tell me what he taught. And I said, what he taught, I'll have an understanding and it'll be in the Word of God. Thank God for giving me the man that could do that he could just quote it to me. For all of those years that we stayed together, that we could walk in the Word. All right? What about it? You ever had an experience then? Now you see why I preach so much on the new birth and how you had to have an experience of justification, an experience of sanctification, experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost to have the new birth. You think I just hollered and screamed and yacked and all. No, I was preaching the gospel that we'll see this afternoon when we drop back to Martin Luther that was predestinated seed. Not Martin Luther, not the flesh now. Come on. Predestinated seed of the just shall live by faith. Predestinated eternally from God. Come on, I know the message. Come on, you ought to. Brother Brown says, not the person that comes predestinated eternally. It's the word or seed. All right, so we got it in the right order. But when we go back to Luther, and you see Luther standing there and what he had, and to see that you started your new birth right there in that same way. Not there with him, but with justification. That when God chopped off your past sins, then you went to sanctification, cleansing and setting aside under John Wesley's message. And in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, under the Azusa Street baptism. Because it's the same baptism. Right? You remember the little word the other week of dispensation? And why Brother Branham would say he believed in a dispensation, but then he'd turn around and say, I don't believe in a dispensation. You go, what's he doing? He's exactly right. Said dispensation can't change. You can't change. You have a dispensation of the Holy Ghost, it's going all the way. Dispensation of just shall live by faith, it'll go all the way. If it's a dispensation of the Holy Ghost, it'll go all the way. Right? See, he was saying, anything that stays and right will continue on. So I believe in a dispensation. Then he'd say, but see, he said, if these things fall off now and it ends and something goes wrong and you lose that, he said, that's not a dispensation. That's, you can call it that, but I ain't calling it that because it didn't continue. I hope you caught that last week, but listen. And then one day you'll get to the dispensation. Because now listen. I believe that the Lord Jesus went through that. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Went through his life 3 years, and then he comes out to, goes to Mount of Transfiguration and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye him. I'm going to back off. I got him here in a minute. I'll read it. I'm going to back off. You ain't going to hear me no longer. You're going to hear him. But he's going to make me manifest. Because what did I say to start with? The Son is not the one to be made manifest. You think it's you to be made manifest. Boy, you got a blowed up head. It's not you to be made manifest. You manifest God. He'll make you manifest. Yes, wonderful. But just remember, I'm trying to get my Father manifested to you. I'm trying to get my Father revealed to you. Makes it a little different when you're born without it. My daddy was died when I was four. And I just never did have a daddy, as you have. But one day I found my daddy. That's where Wade, when he went out behind that building, he said, Mama, Daddy, where you at? I'm having a heart attack. It struck him. He said, but I don't need my daddy. I need you, Lord. Change things. I said, I'm glad I couldn't get the telephone that day. Why? I said, because it ain't between me and you. It's between you and God. So you settle these things for y'all because you got to be done. Okay, now come on. Anywhere you had an experience, you started off as a new birth. Then you're going to have a period of tutoring and training from the new birth. You're going to have a time up through the stature of a perfect man to bring out the virtues into the individual. And then one day the headstone's going to strike the church. All right? And see, I believe that. But what is the headstone to the church? What have I taught you is the headstone to the church? The seven seals. Because what else is it? If the cornerstone is the word, then the headstone's got to just be more word. Right? Come on, be sensible. The cornerstone is the word. We taught that at the Baptist church. Come on, wake up. We could read. They become the head of the corner. Brother Brown just used it like this one day. He said he become the headstone of the corner. Because he brought it into more of his understanding of where he was going with it. Okay? Give me a couple of more minutes. But listen. The Lord Jesus went through that and came out to the message. You know, he preached six seals. Matthew 24. He preached six seals. All right. Now, the prophet preached the seals. The book came alive. He said, what about it? He said, since the opening of the seals, he said, the Bible became a brand new book. Right? Not a different book. More of that he had read all of his life now comes into being, into being and being viewed, you know, and seeing the revealing of the Word. So you're going to have your own Mount Carmel experience. So you're going to have a place that you got a new birth. And that's to bring you into the body of Christ or adopt you into the body of Christ as a baby, a new birth. Not headstones, not anything else. But see, then you get the tutorship, stature of a perfect man. But one day, God's going to take you out on the backside of the desert. He's going to visit you with an angel. And he's going to tell you what this prophet said is right. You like that? What do you think he's going to tell you? You think he's going to tell you something? You're this, that, or the other? You know where I was at when the Lord revealed the seals to me? General Motors. Had a job that nobody could run. They couldn't run it long enough for me to take a 16-minute break. I had to help the man that had to do it. That's no joke. I couldn't be out. It took two people to run the job when I was out. But you see, my hands were that day. I used to doff in the cotton mill and do work. And when the man, the boss that hard or put me on a job, he said, I'll guarantee you I'll look at the next record. He said, if I can see a doffer out of a cotton mill, he said, I'll put him on a job. Because they put me on a job that was supposed to take 3 days to learn. In 15 minutes, I was doing it and told the man to go take care of his business. I had the whole job. And at one time, I could run over 40-something jobs. I had that good of a memory that I was the absentee replacement for 40-something people. But listen, when he opened that first seal to me, I was picking this piece of paper up and laying it down because it matched up and I had to make sure this compared to this, and I'd lay it down and next and I'd lay it. It had to be in order, sequences, etc. And I could do that job within about 40 seconds out of 60. You know what that gave me? 20 seconds to write. You want to try? 20 seconds. I'd write down and lay it down. Write down and lay it down. Write down and lay it down. Just like that. Wrote a whole page. Now, don't ever do this. Heaven help you ministers. Don't even listen to what I'm fixing to say. But I'll just put it. I can find out something if I need it. And so I just said, well, Lord, I want to see if this is you. I turned around to the man on the other side of the line and told him a joke. Now, not dirty. I don't tell dirty jokes. I'm talking about a joke. Just told him a joke. I turned right back around, picked that pen up, and started writing. It never ended. It ain't ended till this day. When he showed me, he said, here stands the lamb with a book in his hand. And said, out there goes the white horse rider. He said, there's two people, Sam. And there ain't no two people. There's just one. That's how simple the opening of the Word. If I hear anybody say any more about how great and what it is to tell me even more than that right there, I'd tell you I don't believe it. Because that's how simple. He said, there's only one. He said, anytime in the Bible you see two, he said, one of them is the devil. So that's always been my goal. In this message or anywhere or somebody preaching, I watch what you're doing with a Godhead. I watch the way you're approaching the Godhead. I don't care if it's Wade, who it is. I watch it. Because my life is involved. Right? I see what you're doing with the Godhead. Because if you ain't got the Godhead right, you ain't got the message right. Let's stand. Come on. I'm sorry, but I'm just saying. See, I had an experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then I spent 20, 30 years studying this message to 1982. So So that would have put me from 68 to 82 studying this message. And the Lord showed me the opening of the seals. You say, you trying to make yourself something? No, I'm just telling the truth. It happened. And I saw it. That's how simple it is to you if you think about it. Think about your life going through it. Think about, well, what happened? I remember this and this and this, and something happened. Don't you think about God being able to reach down low enough to get me and you and to bring us up? And to just unfold His Word. Amen. Father, we thank You. We just tried to make it as best we could this morning. We'll continue this afternoon. We just ask You to be waiting them traveling, Richard and all of them coming in home. Oh, Lord, everything be all right. Have Your way and just forgive our sins. And Lord, just open our eyes to the understanding of what You would have to be said in this last days. Guide us now as we go eat a natural meal, coming back together to fellowship in You around the Word this afternoon. We love You and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. Yep, hang on.